Hey, welcome. I'm Brian from Let Me Put a List Together. Welcome to Off the Cuff. We are not in the studio this Tuesday because it's election week. Just a little something we put together. Basically, we're talking off the cuff on this particular episode about hair bands, hip hop, the history of hip hop, Brian's fascination with hip hop, a lot of little nuggets if you were into 80s hip hop that you might want to know about. Mark is kind of fascinated by, you know, old school hip hop, and he's always asking me questions. So it was part of last week's 9 most annoying songs. We let it roll, and this is what we came up with. So enjoy off the cuff. Hey, get out and vote. Do the right thing. Let your voice be heard. Enjoy this episode of Off the Cuff, and we'll be back with lists next week.
Yeah, that's what was going on. Exactly. Right.
That's how
it I mean, you and I thought it was 1989 sound of the another sound of the funky drummer, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to go from Don't Worry, Be Happy to Fight the Power, the Public Enemy, or any other thing that you were listening to, back in 89. What were you listening to? Were you into like the hair metal stuff or no?
No. So in the late 80s, honestly, I was kind of into Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, okay. Like those bands, like the rock okay. bands.
The rock, the more of the rock side of the, yeah,
of
not
the, hair.
Not the, yeah, not the, like we could even throw in like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses I was into. Like I didn't like the Poisons and
yeah.
Like the glam metal. I didn't like the Motley Crue. I hated those. That's why I loved when, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam came in, because all of a sudden you had rock and roll back. You know?
Well, yeah, you had rock without the hair and the glam.
Well, the horrible, like my God, now there's a whole other genre of bad songs. See, that's why we have to do multiple lists here, because every rose has its thorn belongs on this list.
Yeah, as a kid that definitely was. I loved pop music and I loved hip hop music, especially in the early days when it was breaking and it was basically out of New York and that was it. And it was hard to find those songs. And this is before, like, you know, MTV had Yo MTV Raps. I mean, it was kind of like your own private little thing. I guess it would be like how, you know, kids discovered punk when punk was really raw and underground.
So you're listening to like Big Daddy Kane and
I'm listening to Big Daddy Kane. I'm listening to
Ice-T,
Run DMC. I was listening. Well, Run DMC was pop because they did a little bit of Walk. They did Walk This Way.
Yeah.
I really love the Beastie Boys' second album.
Right.
Rakim. You asked me about Rakim before.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you think about Rakim? He's like, great. He's like, LL Cool J. You know. But it was funny because a lot of those groups were trying to break through. So you had like LL doing like I Need Love. You had Walk This Way with Run DMC. So it was cool to kind of give rap its due. You had Beastie Boys Fight For Your Right, which that's another one that I can't handle.
Can I just say this really quick? I want a girl with extensions in her hair, bamboo earrings, maybe two pair.
There's nothing like Mark break it into lyrics. This is great.
Tina, Melissa, Angela.
Renee. Love you. You're from around the way.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is Mark just discovered that on listening to Spotify while he's working out.
Exactly.
Last week. This is the best thing about Mark. Mark will be working out and he'll be listening to some like random hip hop playlist and he'll grab onto a song that he really likes. And then he'll text me and be like, hey, what do you think about Around the Way Girl, LL Cool J? Or he'll say, dude, what about Ice Cube Wicked? That's a good song. And I'm like, yeah, it was a great song 30 years ago when it came out. Oh, I'm going to play it every day.
It was a good day. I got my AK. This is awesome, man. I do like it when I ask you, because I just did this last week about Rock. I'm like, what about Rakim? What about this guy? And you're like, you kind of gave me kind of a snotty answer. You're like, that's like the rapper's song right there. That is like, that's the one that everybody, like
that's
if you're
the
a
goat.
Rap fan.
That's the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
It is the GOAT.
Rakim is there was, everybody was screaming and yelling in hip hop before Rakim came, and then he toned it down. And then everybody followed him after that with that cool, smooth delivery. And he is the GOAT, greatest of all.
What was the song that they had in the MJ documentary by Rakim? What was it?
I Ain't No Joke.
That's it.
Yeah. That's actually the one that inspired me to start writing and doing my own music, was that song right there.
When that came on, like seriously, when the MJ documentary comes on and you hear that song, you just jump out of your seat.
Oh, it is. It's like, because that's how cool. See, if you listen to that song versus like an older Run DMC song.
Okay.
It's like they're two totally different. And listen to the lyrical flow and listen to the words that he's using. That's why hip hop right now, I mean, you know, I understand the new kids got to have their own thing and all that. But it's the art form was really all about the lyrical flow and the creativity of your rhymes.
Yeah.
Now everything's like a hook, and it's just like a repetitive hook over and over again. And I hope, you know, unless you dig for like a Kendrick Lamar, you start digging into the guys that are out there on the underground, not in the pop market, you know, you'll find that. I mean, even Eminem, I mean, with his, how creative his rhymes were. I mean, they were just unbelievably creative. So that's how Rakim was. I mean, but he was like the first to do it, like to, you know, to put those words together in like just this. He was like, just sounded like, he was just flowing like a saxophone, just like.
Right, and then, you know what's funny is that you mentioned LL Cool J, too, because LL Cool J is almost like a caricature of himself now.
Yeah.
But he had huge credibility back then, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Hands down, LL was, I mean, you really would call him, at that time, he was probably the prince of rap. I mean, he was very young. He got started when he was 16. And he was one of the first artists on Def Jam. Actually, he was released before the Beastie Boys' License to Ill was out. So he's been around for a long, long time. And imagine that. I mean, being 16 and like, you know, growing with that label to where he is now, where he's, you know, in movies and starring in all this stuff. It's really cool to be there if you were really focused on hip hop at the beginning and seeing where a lot of these guys have gone now. I mean, they're in their 50s and stuff, and you know, they're doing movies and owning things. And I just think it's totally cool. I mean, it just really opened a lot of doors for a lot of people, that whole, you know, music. So
now of course, there's always been hip hop wars and rap wars between, you know, coasts and. Wasn't Kool Moe Dee? He didn't get along with LL Cool J, right?
No, actually, no. It was because Kool Moe Dee is actually from very old school. Kool Moe Dee he rapped right as rap records started to come out with the Treacherous Three, and I believe that, you know, LL, when he was younger, would kind of go see these concerts, or he would get the tapes of these concerts. And I want to say that he kind of, I believe Kool Moe Dee thought that LL based his style on Kool Moe Dee. And then, of course, you know, you got this kid coming out and he's, you know, calling out these old school rappers, these suckers wearing high heel boots and stuff, which is what those guys used to wear, you know, Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, all these guys used to wear, you know, they look like rock bands. You know, they didn't look like,
they were like glamour rap.
They were
right?
like glam rap. And then what happened was Run DMC basically just were like, we're not wearing that. We're going to wear what we wear in the street. This is who we are. And that's where you got, you know, the Lees, you know, Lee jeans, Adidas with no shoelaces, you know, the hats, the Godfather hats, all that stuff is basically from what they used to wear in the neighborhoods in Queens, especially Jam Master Jay was the one that kind of put that look together because he was more hood than you know, Run and D. He was more closer to the streets. Versus Run and D, who were college students and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we go on.
What did Big Daddy Kane mean to that era and the startup in the 80s?
I would say that Big Daddy Kane was one of the, after Rakim, it kind of went into like this progression where it was like there was LL and then there was Rakim and then the lyrical styles of Rakim. And then you went into Big Daddy Kane, who kind of carried that torch. Very lyrical, very creative rhymes. Flow was unmatched. Music was excellent. The samples that they used, the producers they had were top-notch hip-hop producers. Molly Maw was the guy that kind of put all that together. And the person that kind of put Big Daddy Kane on was Biz Markie. So they were all from the Juice Crew, which was a whole scene in Queensbridge, in Queens, New York. And they were all from the Queensbridge project, or at least around in that area. I think Big Daddy was from Brooklyn, though, but most of the Juice Crew was from Queensbridge project. So
that's fascinating. All right. I've enjoying the hell out of this sidebar. I got a couple more quick questions for you. Okay. On the hip hop. Cause I'm fascinated by this stuff. I just don't know it well. And I love picking your brain. Mm-hmm. All right. So Biggie Smalls, when I say his name, what do you think? Where does he rank with you?
Well, I mean, he's going to be he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
He's being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Good.
You know, there is that whole thing about Tupac and Biggie and who was better, who was this. Me personally, I'm always New York. I think that's where hip hop started. I think lyrically and flow wise, I think Biggie was the man. You know, Tupac, you know, he had the whole social conscious thing going with him. And a lot of people, I don't know, I just feel Tupac was maybe easier for people to understand. Maybe he spoke more just directly to the people about concepts and ideas and, you know, philosophies that he had, where, you know, Biggie was more into, like, you know, creating a gangster picture, you know, in your head, a gangster movie in your head with, like, a lot of the different songs that he put out, whereas Tupac was more, you know, maybe, I don't know, political, controversial. So that whole side of it, I just didn't dig, and he just didn't do it for me.
All right. One other guy I want to ask you about, and then I'm going to ask you to do something really tough here. All right. So, and you're going to laugh at this. Yesterday, I'm walking around, and I almost text you. I don't know. I got sidetracked, I guess. I'm walking around, and Jay-Z 99 Problems comes into my ears.
Oh, excellent song.
This is serious. Like, I always thought it was a great song, and just because of the main hook. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. And then I listened to the lyrics and what that song is really about, and oppression and, you know, police officers, mm-hmm, and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. Like, and I'm like, holy man, like, this is a whole, oh, I get it now. This, mm-hmm, is not some playful, I got, like I got all the ladies on my side. It's like, God, it was almost saying, like, I wish that was my only problem.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
That's the one problem I don't have.
Yeah, he's talking about, you know, making money as, you know, doing illegal means and, you know, being pulled out of the car, doing things.
It's a great,
like,
song, isn't it?
Yeah, and here's another thing. You probably like that song is because Rick Rubin produced that song.
Oh.
So the guy that produced the Beastie Boys, LL Cool J, you know, that beat in there is engine number 9. That's that the beat in there, and then of course it's got the heavy guitar, you know, it's got that old Def Jam sound where it was just basically a beat and just a heavy guitar scratch or a heavy guitar drop. I mean, that was the essence of a lot of the Beastie Boys stuff, and even Run-DMC was very well, they called themselves the King of Rock. They didn't call themselves the King of Rap because, you know, a lot of the beats that they were rocking over was rap beat or rock beats. So, it's intense. It's intense. And that's all freestyle. That's all from his head. I recommend you go do this. Look up on YouTube. Look up Jay-Z and Rick Rubin in the studio producing that song.
Okay.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because
no,
that's all in his head. It doesn't. The song is basically in his head, Jay-Z. He doesn't write it down. So he has it in his head, and then he drops it. And that's pretty amazing.
So he's kind of like genius guy then.
Yeah, I mean, Jay-Z. Well, he just has a hell of a memory. But I think he's been doing that since he was very young. He never wrote his lyrics down. He just created songs in his head, and that was the first verse, and this is the second verse. And I'm sure there's some freestyle in there too. I prefer guys that write down their lyrics, though, just because, I don't know, I just do.
A little more organization to it.
And a little bit more
structure.
More structure, more creativity. More word flow.
Yeah.
You know, rhyme flow, all that fun stuff.
I got you. All right, so I don't know if this is even possible for you. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, you can't. Can you, like, fire out your top five MCs, or is that, like, too hard to do?
Like, or do you, or would you have to do it like by decade? Like,
no, yeah, I mean, you would. I mean, I
could that's really hard, man. Like, if you ask me my five favorite like grunge songs right now, I don't know if I could do it.
I mean, I would say it would have to be Rakim and Big Daddy Kane would be
top
at least,
two,
at least one and two.
Okay,
you'd probably throw Nas in there.
Ooh, Nas, yeah. Tell me about Nas. What's the Nas?
Probably throw
the Nas situation.
Try to throw Biggie in there.
Biggie, okay.
Guru from Gangstar.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's like everybody has their own. I mean, Redman was great.
Yeah.
Method
Man. About what about God, why am I having a NWA?
Yeah, I mean, for the time that it came out, it was mind-blowing because these guys, you know, were basically talking about all the crap that was going on the West Coast, but they were definitely New York-influenced. I mean, if you listen to the early NWA records, they're very New York-influenced with the way that they sample, the way that they do all of that stuff. So, but no, I mean, yeah, they were way ahead of their time. I mean, those were records that you had to, you know, listen in the basement really quiet. It's like those old comedy records, you know, everybody cursing. And so, yeah, but they were, I'll never forget that the first time I got their first single was Dope Man. I'll never forget my friend Wilfred is like, you got to hear this group NWA. He's like, you got to go buy this single. They got a song called Dope Man. It's really good.
Dope Man.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went and bought it, you know, and, you know, Ice Cube's on there, looking all young. Dre's on there, you know, Eazy-E. I still got that 12-inch, by the way. That came out in, like, 87.
Really?
Yeah. But, yeah, that was, you had to go in. But that was it. You had to go and dig for those, man. That's how you found out about the latest music. It was, you either had friends that were really into it or, you know, people that were from the, you know, guys like my friend Wilfred would go and travel and see family in New Jersey, and then he'd come back and bring tapes of mixes that they've taped off the radio, and that's how I first heard like Biz Markie and Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince when they first came out, like in 86, you know, before any of that big stuff came out. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is Dr. Dre, like, is he considered the greatest DJ producer of all time?
I think he's one of them.
Okay.
I mean, it matters on what style of hip hop you're really
right.
Digging.
That's another loaded question, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is actually going to have to be a section outside of, I'll make this a bonus episode, Mark. How about
yeah,
that?
Man, this has been fun. Yeah. A little bit of bonus time for people to listen to pick your brain here, man.
So I will actually separate this and make this like a little bonus